can get that low. Often there's more trouble than you can handle. Every truck using our highway system must have capacity load capability marked on it. There are laws to prevent overloading. Every ship carrying freight or tonnage must have waterline markings on the prow of the ship. There are regulations to prevent ships being loaded beyond a certain depth. The dangers of breaking down or capsizing are all too apparent. And this same principle should be recognized in people. God recognizes it, and so do psychiatrists and psychologists. Too much can be loaded on a person. No two people are built to carry identical loads. Parents, teachers, management officers, coaches discover this. It's an important and necessary discovery. A good example is found in the book of Judges. Gideon, after years of leadership, was a proven warrior, a veteran. He tried to transfer this quality upon his son. Zeba and Zalmunna, enemies to the state, were to be executed. Gideon committed the task to Jether, his firstborn and heir apparent. It was beyond the young man. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. He didn't have the necessary experience. And then Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Rise thou, fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength." And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna. You don't send a boy to do a man's job. Now, there are many levels of responsibility. It's foolish to attempt a 5-ton load on a 1/2-ton pickup. There is a point of stress and strain. There is a breaking point. Pressed out of measure, it's something to think about. Can it happen to God's people? Oh, read on. Always read on. It's a basic rule. Reading and studying the Bible, and thus the reason is given in the following verse. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. God allowed Paul and Timothy to reach the limits of their own abilities. Through such experience they learned to cast themselves utterly on God and to trust in Him, not in themselves. This sentence of death is passed many times by heaven upon believers. I've heard it. I could die. It will be the end of me. I can't take it anymore. Those are familiar complaints. They often sound as though God had abandoned the individual. No, God guarantees that He will never permit us to be tempted above that we are able. But He will let us reach the point, pressed out of measure, insomuch that we despaired even of life. It's necessary. Pressure is a part of it, sir. A good example is in the life of the Master. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was exposed to pressure immediately. He was afterward a-hungered when the tempter came to Him. Yes, you'll come to the end of yourself. The sentence of death will be passed upon you, and only then will you resurrect to find new existence and new capability in God. When I have expended everything, I learn how puny my effort is. I am exhausted. I am pressed out of measure. I can't make it in myself. I must find new dimensions in God, and that's where great achievements begin. Elijah learned this lesson. In himself, he was no match for Jezebel. Few men were. He could face crowds. He could face famine. He could face the sneers of atheists. But facing a woman full of hell was a different story. Suddenly he discovered he didn't have the resources needed. It was too much for him. The sentence of death was passed upon him. He admits it. He requested for himself that he might die, and he said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." He felt finished. There wasn't any fight left in him. That experience of death led the preacher to new discoveries. He was a better man for it. He found a new and a better place in God, and it is pressure that produces strength. The writer to the Hebrews has an excellent word for us. Let us labor, he says, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. There is the paradox. Labor to enter into rest when you've done your best and you've done all that you know to do. There remains the discovery that you can rest the task with him, that there is accomplishment when you feel like Paul and Timothy, that you despair. Oh, yes, God does permit us to come to the end of ourselves. The time has come, or it will come, when you feel swamped. John the Baptist capsized terribly, and John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? This is the same man of assurance who proclaimed, He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And now he wasn't so sure. He needed help. The flesh always needs help. He needed strength from a source outside his own ministry, and he got it. Jesus answering them said unto them, Go your way. Tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John needed to be raised, and God knew how much the preacher needed that lift. Isaiah learned this same precious lesson. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. At the extremity, when you are ready to quit, you discover new dimensions. It is this experience that produces heroes and champions. When I was a young man, Glenn Cunningham out of Kansas was the world's greatest miler. He established a lot of track records in his day. He had been horribly burned as a youngster. Doctors had despaired about his scarred and injured legs. But young Cunningham found new strength. He found assurance in Christ. He appropriated to his body that secret formula from heaven, and it raised him, it lifted him to the heights of the athletic world. Someone has written, When I am weak, then am I strong, praising my Savior all the day long. Weakness reminds me of his great love. He will send strength and help from above. Isaiah reminds his generation, Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So it isn't always the matter of age and mileage. Timothy was young. Paul was elderly. They were both pressed out of measure. It takes us to the old song of the church. Where can I turn but to the Lord? And the sooner we get there, the better it is for us. The apostles saturate the New Testament with this experience. James says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or testings. The natural man can't see much that is happy about it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can tell you the thrill of it. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. These are the folk who find joy in extreme testing when pressed out of measure, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul tells the Thessalonians, In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Friends may misread your experience as they misread Job's experience. They may call a grand jury and produce indictments. Trust and survival must be anchored to this one thing, that this is the will of God in Christ for me. That conviction keeps you from despair. John Wesley's marriage is one of the most grievous in church history. She tormented him beyond measure, but he said that he attributed most of his success to his wife, that she kept him on his knees, and because she kept him on his knees, she kept him in victory. In our great American game, now spread worldwide in participation and popularity, the game of basketball, one of the defenses learned is called a full court press. Now that is when you hound your man, your opponent, every step he takes, every move he contemplates. It creates tension and often a good many personal fouls. It isn't easy to break through and score. In the bigger game of life, one often feels this full press of the adversary. You feel frustrated. Every move seems blocked. Paul wrote about it in labors, in stripes, in prisons, in deaths. Now, I wonder how many members in your church would survive a press like that and win. Esther experienced the same thing, pressed out of measure, in so much that we despaired even of life. She found herself betwixt and between. Behind her, Mordecai and her Jewish culture were pressing her. Her cousin told her, "Think not thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" On the other hand, who was she to break a national precedent, a severe law that confined women to their quarters until sent for? She too felt the sentence of death, only that she too might not trust in herself, but in God which raiseth the dead. It's glorious history now, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Melanchthon said, "Trouble and perplexity drive me to prayer, and prayer drives away perplexity and trouble." And so pressures are allowed. We must recognize this. They commit us to action. The supreme purpose is stated that we should not trust in ourselves. When you feel it's the end, it is the beginning. You feel, "I can't make it. This is too much for me." Suddenly you have experienced help, a help that is in God, which raiseth the dead. You won't buckle. God will see to that. But you will come to the end of yourself, and that is blessed. And that's when you learn how strong he is to deliver. There are many additional burdens like unemployment, rising costs, gasoline and fuel shortages, which are vital to living and must be resolved. Please bring them to the law and long altar and we'll share and take the next 10 seconds to kneel with us.
There's room at the cross for you.
Heavenly Father, we follow Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. That is our confession to this world. We believe Jesus the way will make the way for us. And I believe my fellow believer shall have employment as I appreciate employment. I believe my brother, my sister in the family of God shall have food and gasoline and sufficient funds as I must have them to accomplish the ministry set before me. I thank thee for these provisions. I petition thee especially for the handicapped who find it extra toil and greater requirement of strength to keep pace with demand and the day in which we live. We are not ashamed to come to thee. Thou art our deliverer. Our praise is lifted to thee and our testimony is to thy faithfulness. Amen. This altar does things for my soul, and no power on earth can match. Praise the Lord. Our Master is moving among us in his goodness and mercy. It is his gilt-edged promise that they shall follow. We have a right to discover them and acknowledge them. I have good news for the pastor kneeling with us, wondering whether or not he should add a daycare nursery to the ministry of his church. Do it, sir. Your step of faith will not be in vain. The need will be met and the investment will bring precious dividends. And God has already prepared the workers to assist you in this venture. God wants you to extend your borders. We bring all the praise for the leading and the guidance and the encouragement we find at the long, long altar to Jesus. It is his kingdom, and we're glad to be his servants. Now you've found yourself in the meeting. It's old-fashioned and unadorned. Our delight is in the anointing rather than human display. We love the manifest glory of Jesus the victor. Thousands now schedule attendance at the meeting. And everyone is important to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is very real to this service. And Brother McClellan offers the songs to him. Brother Peterson and Brother Schultz offer the conduct of the service to him. We all love the temple and the miracle of the book of Acts, and your presence has warmed our hearts. And so, say with us now that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.